Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the season in the church year that traditionally has been set aside for reflection and for self-examination. The gospel reading for this morning invites us to reflect on the fact that the time will come when the day of grace will be over. And it cautions all of us concerning what will happen if we are not prepared at that time, if we have not used the period of grace to good advantage. The epistle for today, which you heard read a short time ago, addresses this same theme, but from a slightly different point of view. The epistle emphasizes the fact that we are still in the state of grace. And it even goes to the extent of suggesting to us what we can do in order to make the most of this time. Now, to understand the text that we have before us, actually, we've got to look at the previous chapter. And you'll remember that the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews presents to us that great cloud of witnesses. It tells us about Abel and Noah, Enoch, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, and many others, Moses. And it suggests to us that all of these have given us a living example of the way in which we can use this time to best advantage. How one can overcome obstacles and hurdles that might be an obstruction in our way. However, at the end of the chapter, it suggests that we are a very privileged people. Yes, we're privileged even more than this great group of witnesses. We're privileged in this sense that their faith was, after all, based upon promise. It was based upon prophecies, upon the sacrificial system. It was based upon types and signs, all of which were a shadow of things to come. But then the author suggests to us that the time has been fulfilled. We live in the age of fulfillment. We have a full account of the life of Jesus, his ministry, his suffering and his death, his resurrection, his ascension to the right hand of God. In this season of reflection, we have this added advantage that we can look at the prophecies and at the promises. We can look at this great group of heroes of the faith. But above all, we can fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author, the perfecter of our faith. In other words, the one who by his life and death has provided us with everything possible that we might need in order to run the race patiently and with determination. And it even suggests that following after Jesus, fixing our eyes upon him, we can learn to get over the hurdles even with joy. Yes, we are indeed a privileged people. But the author suggests also that with privilege comes responsibility. And actually, that's the main point of this text. The Holy Spirit reminds us that in a Christian community, we help one another to run the race and to do it successfully. We help each other to win the prize. Now, have you ever seen a race like that before? Where contestants do not elbow each other out, but they help one another to win the race, because we know that there are enough first prizes to go around. And the promise is this, that all of those who fix their eyes upon Jesus as the author, the perfecter of our faith, they'll win the prize, the first prize. And therefore, the Holy Writer urges us to be supportive of one another as we run this race. It says, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. And how do we do that? In this race, we begin by watching our own step. The author says, make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be out of joint, but rather be healed. That's to your advantage, and that's to the advantage of all others, that we remove all obstacles, all stumbling blocks, the sins which so easily beset us and entangle us. Or to put it in another way, those sins which cause us to lose our concentration as a good runner in this race, to take our eyes off the goal. Now, the author of the book of Hebrews says that among these stumbling blocks, there's also one great stumbling block, and that is discord and dissension. Now, you remember St. Paul oftentimes talked about that too. And so the writer says, pursue peace with all men, and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. Apparently, there were some among the Hebrew Christians who were trying to destroy peace in the Christian community, deliberately sowing seeds of discord. You can call them Judaizers, you can call them what you will, but the author of the book of Hebrews has this observation. He says, see to it that no one comes short of the grace that God has given. That no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. Now, one commentary paraphrases this as follows. Be careful that no one fails to respond to the grace of God, which God gives, for if he does, there can very easily spring up in him a bitter spirit, which is not only bad in itself, but it can also poison the lives of others. Or to make it more general, talking about the obstacles, about those entanglements that we might have to contend with in our life, actually the bottom line is this. It goes without saying that Christians will not put pitfalls and stumbling blocks in the path of others. The Christian community should be an environment in which those who by God's grace are strong in the faith will encourage and be a good example for those that are weak. And they'll lend them a helping hand. But now, the writer suggests before we can do that, we ourselves must gain strength from the grace of God. All of us are contentious by nature. We need the strength of God. And with that strength, make sure that we're following the right path toward the goal. And that brings us back again to what the objective is in this whole season. It is to walk the way of repentance and faith which the Holy Spirit gives us. Christians attempt to live the kind of a life that is a credit to the gospel, credit to our faith. And the Christian way of life grows out of faith in God's promises. And so when our attitudes and when our actions are fruits of faith, when they're the fruits of the Holy Spirit, then they will please God. And we will become an example to others. And the Christian life will be a credit to the gospel. Or to put it in rather modern terms, the church should always be the Christian's best support group. Yes, the Christian church is our support group because it's held together by a common faith, which is a very strong bond, and by Christian love and Christian fellowship. And so in this season of reflection and of self-examination, it's well for us to pursue that goal. And now may the peace of God that passeth all understanding keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.